body mass index, a measure of someone's weight to height ratio, has come under fire as an inaccurate measure of someone's overall health, especially if it's not used in conjunction with other factors like body fat percentage and more. Over the summer, the American Medical Association said that BMI should not be used as a standalone measure of health, saying the medical field has an over-reliance on BMI as a diagnostic tool. Now, with the rise of new obesity drugs, BMI is being used as a key part of the decision of whether to make that prescription. Our next guest dug into the story behind body mass index and medical care. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever received medical advice or treatment based on your body mass index, your BMI? Do you think your BMI is a reflection of your overall health profile, or does it seem a little bit off base? Should it be taken into account when we receive medical care of various sorts? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Yasmin Tayeg is a staff writer at The Atlantic. Yasmin, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Now, BMI is kind of a household phrase nowadays. You dug into the history of it a lot. I didn't know about where this concept came from and how people intended and didn't intend for it to be used. Give us a little bit of the backstory behind body mass index.
Yeah, I mean, most of us know body mass index as, you know, at the very least, just as a sort of snapshot of our health. We have this idea that a high body mass index is bad and a low body mass index is good. But in reality, this thing came about like 200 years ago, and it was not meant to be used in that way at all. It started as something called the Quetelet Index, and it was named after this Belgian mathematician and astronomer who came up with a calculation to describe what he saw in data sets about European men. So this guy was looking at, you know, the heights and weights of average men and trying to come up with a way to, you know, quantify what a normal seeming weight was. And he came up with this equation. But the key here is that he was just trying to describe what he was already seeing. He was not trying to tell people what they should be aiming for. But over the years, that's how it came to be used. You know, at first, the insurance industry got its hands on this index and started creating these tables of weight and height to determine who was high risk and who was not. So they'd say, oh, you know, a person with X height and X weight would be considered high risk, and therefore, you know, we should factor that into our calculations for further insurance rates. Eventually, this concept of high risk versus low risk morphed into an ideal versus non-ideal weight, and eventually that transformed into what we conceive of as like an overweight or obese weight versus a normal weight. But there was a lot of transformation in there over the years where I think the true meaning of what this thing was supposed to be got totally lost.
What are some of the things that can throw off BMI as a measure? We have this ratio of weight to height, but there are a lot of factors, you write, that can say, well, wait a minute, this person at a lower BMI might be at a higher risk. This person at a higher BMI might be at a lower risk than we think just by looking at the numbers alone.
Absolutely. And, you know, like you said, the key thing to remember is that BMI only takes into account height and weight. But there are all sorts of other factors that go into somebody's health. So, you know, the reason I wanted to write this story is because my dad was talking to me about this. My dad is a very muscular person. He's like in his 60s. He plays a lot of basketball. And according to the BMI charts, he's overweight, but he maintains that he's quite healthy and just a muscular guy. And this is one of the issues that comes up. People who are very muscular tend to be heavier. For example, like LeBron James, and he would be considered overweight on the BMI scale when, you know, really you look at this guy, he's not unhealthy, right? But on the flip side, something that some of the doctors told me is that you could actually have a normal BMI and actually be obese. So another thing that BMI doesn't account for is where is how much fat is on your body and where that fat is on the body. And so that's important because the positioning, the distribution of the fat on the body has some implications for your health. So for example, the sort of soft fat on your sides that you can pinch with your fingers, the fat that lives under your skin, that's not considered quite as risky for your health as what is known as visceral fat, which is the fat that lives deep in between your organs and tissues, and it kind of feels hard in your abdomen. That is associated with heart disease and other ailments. But BMI doesn't capture any of that because it doesn't look at fat content or distribution at all, which is what makes it all the more crazy that BMI is used to define obesity, which is a disease about fatness and adiposity.
Now, here's a new wrinkle. People may have heard a lot about this new generation of obesity treatments, kind of descended from diabetes treatments, the Ozempics and Wegovys, and the list keeps getting longer. And one of the diagnostic tools on if I prescribe this to you but not you is BMI. How is this being used with this new class of weight loss drugs?
Absolutely. I mean, these weight loss drugs, I'll say that the experts I've spoken to have wanted to clarify their obesity drugs. And this is important because, they're meant to treat obesity, which is why their criteria for prescription are based on our definitions of obesity. And so the CDC, the World Health Organization, they use BMI to define who is obese. A person who is with obesity has a BMI greater than or equal to 30. A person who is overweight has a BMI greater than or equal to 25. And so the prescription requirements for obesity drugs like Wegovy and now Zepbound are roughly based on this. So the rules are that you have to have a BMI of 30 and over, or a BMI of, I believe, 27 and over, with some sort of weight-related medical condition, like hypertension or diabetes, for example. It's kind of funny to think that there's such a high demand for these drugs. And at the end of the day, one of the biggest criteria determining whether or not you're going to get them is if you have the right BMI.
It's Brianna Caller at 800-642-1234. Bob is with us in Sparta. Bob, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about?
I was just telling your receptionist there, whoever answers the phone there. Oh, back in 78, 79, when the Army first came out with the height weight program, and they were throwing people out of the Army because they didn't meet the standards. And that's all they went by, was a straight up height weight. And I had a guy in my section, he was built like an upside down pyramid with the point on the bottom. And he was a wrestler and a bodybuilder, weightlifter. The guy didn't have an ounce of fat on him, but they kept harassing the death out of him, telling him he had to lose the weight. There was absolutely nothing to lose. He finally got tired of a mentor and he said, just put me out. And we lost a lot of good people back then when they first initially came out with that program.
Bob, interesting. Thanks for sharing that. Yasmin, a lot of decisions. The Army, it sounds like, some kinds of medical treatment. You mentioned insurance, even adoption. You give an example of one case. People are making a lot of big decisions about people based on that one number, the BMI.
Totally. It's become so baked into the way we think about health in this country. Well, not just in this country, but worldwide. And I think that's why the American Medical Association and the rest of the health world decided this year that, okay, it's time to really rethink this because this is getting a little out of hand.
Bob, thanks a lot for sharing that story. We're talking to Yasmin Tayag, staff writer at The Atlantic. She's talking to us about body mass index, BMI, as obesity drugs rise in popularity. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Has BMI made it harder for you to get health care of one sort or another? Have your concerns at the doctor's office you feel like ever been dismissed because of your body mass index? Do you work in some profession that uses BMI as a key statistic one way or another? Join the conversation with your experiences, your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We continue our talk with Yasmin Tayegh, staff writer at The Atlantic. She's talking to us about her recent reporting on the problems with using body mass index, BMI, as a standalone health measure. It's taken on new importance with a line of obesity drugs now on the market. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you tried to get a prescription for one of these new obesity drugs that's out there? Was BMI a factor in whether or not it was prescribed to you? Have you ever taken measures aimed at changing that number, BMI? Not just losing weight, but saying, hey, I want to get to a target body mass index. If you are in healthcare, how do you use that number? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Yasmin, you mentioned that advisory from the American Medical Association saying, hey, let's not put so much weight, if you will, on BMI in doctor's visits. What are they recommending to people? How are they looking to use BMI in conjunction with other factors?
Yeah, you know, that American Medical Association policy change was a long time coming. And, you know, they basically told doctors, you know, we really encourage you not to use BMI alone as a snapshot of someone's health. If anything, they want doctors to use it alongside other metrics that will tell you about a person's health. So, you know, like we mentioned before, you could measure their fat. You could look at their blood sugar levels. You could look at their high blood pressure. You know, all of these, you know, various data points that together would provide a far more complete picture of a person's health than only their height and weight. And I think part of the push here is to prevent doctors from falling into the trap of judging a patient by solely their BMI. You know, unfortunately, we see some reports of that happening where a patient will come in, you know, get their height and weight measured, and, you know, the provider will take a look at their BMI and think, oh, you're overweight, and then go on to dismiss a lot of that person's other medical concerns. And so, you know, I think there's a general push to encourage doctors to look very carefully at the whole picture rather than this just one thing.
Let's go back to our callers. Jenny is with us in Dane County. Jenny, hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What'd you want to tell us about?
Well, I just wanted to mention that when physicians use BMI for a Medicare wellness visit, that's a big indicator whether or not a person is high risk. So that can influence the reimbursement that medical facilities get, which I thought was an interesting point just to throw out there.
And it sounds like you work in a medical field, Jenny?
I do.
Yeah, and what do you think? I mean, do you feel like, okay, yeah, BMI is pretty good at valuing that risk, or do you think you wish there was a little more to it?
Well, there's a lot of factors that go into it, but BMI can be used to get higher reimbursement for Medicare annual wellness visits, which, you know, like you've been talking about, I don't think that BMI alone is a good indicator because there's so many other factors and it's all individual based. So I don't really care much for the BMI.
Gotcha. Jenny, thanks a lot for sharing that. I don't know, Yasmin, is there just something about, like, it's an easy statistic, it's one number that we could put on a scale as opposed to a lot of qualitative observations? Is that part of why we've relied on BMI so much?
Absolutely. You know, doctors will tell you it's not completely useless. BMI is best used as like a screening tool. And so, you know, you look at a person and it sort of puts them into a broad bucket of whether they might be high risk or not. But the idea is that you're supposed to go further than that screening and then do other assessments. But doctors will tell you that the reason that BMI has stuck around is because it's A, really easy to measure. You just take the height and weight, and B, really cheap and fast. And as you know, we know doctors are increasingly short on time to spend with their patients. And
we just have time for one more quick caller. I want to jump in, Yasmin.
Sure.
Teresa is with us in Madison. Teresa, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to tell us about Teresa?
Well, it's kind of what you're just talking about right now. Sometimes it can be, BMI can be used to prevent, you know, certain medical procedures. And I mean, I need a kidney transplant, and the transplant team won't even speak to me until I reach a certain BMI. So I have to lose weight before I can even be considered for a transplant.
Teresa, thanks. I'm so sorry to hear about that, Yasmin. In just our last half a minute, there's a lot at stake here, life or death in some cases, in how we use BMI.
Yeah, absolutely. There really is. But fortunately, there seems to be a push among doctors, people who are making these decisions, to consider more. And there's also an effort to define obesity in a more specific way, using like different markers from organs, from the body systems. And so hopefully we will not always have to rely on such a vague metric.
Yasmin, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Yasmin Tayegh, staff writer at The Atlantic. She talked to us about her recent reporting on the continued use of body mass index, or BMI, as a standalone health measure. The American Medical Association said this summer, doctors should stop relying on BMI so much.